Hi everyone. Today we are going to look at Lordship. So, Matthew 22:37. And it says, "Moreover, he said to him, 'You will love the Lord, the God of you, with all the heart of you, and with all the soul of you, and with all the mind of you. This is the great and first commandment. The second, moreover, is like it. You will love the neighbor of you as yourself.'" So, okay, so firstly, I would suggest that being the commandments required to obey in order to fulfill the law, then this is what will be the first area the Holy Spirit trains you in. For without the law fulfilled, or without obeying the commandments, we can't obey the Lord and we can't love him. So this would be the first area you're trained in by the Holy Spirit. So one being love the Lord first in your heart, then your soul, then your mind. So we're looking at the heart, identity, and then understanding. So you will love, which is to be to have affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of benefits received. So he will have these three areas established in your heart: identity, in your heart, identity, and understanding. So those three things: affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of benefits received. Those three things will be established in your heart, identity, and understanding. Your heart, soul, and mind. So you will love. I love. So you will love. It means I love, I long for, I esteem. Preferring to live through Christ. So you prefer to live through Christ. Embracing God's will, choosing his choices, and obeying them through his power. Actively doing what the Lord prefers with him, by his power and direction. From the word philo, it comes there, to love, right? To love the Lord, to love. It's the agapesis, comes from the word philo, which philo means I love, or I love of friendship, and kiss. That's that intimate, to have that intimate pleasure, that intimate affection and friendship with the Lord. And that's what it means to love. It's an intimate pleasure and affection. A tender, heartfelt kinship. And all, so love the Lord God with all. All is your whole, your entire, and every single part of you. Okay, so heart. The heart is the inner mind, the inner self, intention, and will. So the heart there is it's cardia. The heart is the cardia, which I've said before, is it's the inner mind, the inner self, the intentions, and the will. It's not the actual blood pumping heart itself. And it's used like over 800 times in the Bible, and it's always using it in a figurative term to explain these parts of ourself, the inner self. It's the affection center of our being and the capacity of moral preference, the volitional desire and choice, and the desire, it's a desire producer. So desire and decisions that establish who we really are all done in this area of the heart, the inner mind, inner self, intention, and will. But when the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, okay? It says it in John 16:13-14. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me, that he will receive what he will make known to you. So he will guide, instruct, teach, and lead into reality, into divine truth. He will utter and chatter and converse, not be silent, of what he hears, which is God's voice, which is birthing faith within as well. But to not be silent, not being silent of what is to come or what has to be rendered, how to walk, what steps to take. He will declare to you and he'll make known and announce, declaring a thought, and he will take the word or take the love of God, or take the love, because God is love, right? So he'll take love, or he'll take the word through every necessary stage of your heart, clearing it to complete the process, to disclose everything that's inside of it. So you hear the word and the Holy Spirit runs it through your heart first, and it will disclose the inner mind, the inner self, your intentions and your will. And the Holy Spirit makes it known for you. And people may accuse the word bringer for what was revealed, right? Rather than know, it's actually what's in them. It's not in the word bringer. It's their own inner mind, inner self, intentions and will that has the Holy Spirit has revealed and made known to you. But some people think it's come from somewhere else, right? When it's actually their own stuff. That's what Holy Spirit has brought up for them. He's done it for you to make it known for you, right? I've seen people struggle and people shrink back into comfortable places to resist the Holy Spirit instead of having these areas of the heart dealt with. I've seen it over and over in already this short time. Okay, blaming others and not just shrinking back and into comfortable places rather than letting the Holy Spirit make it known and then coming into it, right? And letting it be dealt with. So next is the soul. The next area is the soul. And this is your personal identity, the seat of feelings, desires, affections, aversions. And Holy Spirit takes the word through our soul, takes love through our soul. Love the word, it's the same thing. Taking the word through our soul, revealing our identity. And this is where the breath of life, the vital force of life, comes in to animate, to bring to life our body. Okay, and John 1:4 says Jesus is the life, right? And the life there is the Zoe life force. And this life is the light of all men. So this is the area of our identity in which the Zoe life produces our identity in Christ. And the word goes through the soul, and all feelings, desires, affections, and aversions are breathed on to divide the human nature from the Christ nature. So identity can be formed. Okay, so we can see how this is working, right? So the Holy Spirit takes the word through our heart first, our soul second, and then lastly our mind. Heart and soul to clear out all seed, all other seed. Well, to expose it so you can repent, so you can let go, so you can change your mind and decisions to line up with God. So he can next get your identity sorted. So first the heart. The quicker you repent and obey, the quicker you're healed, and the quicker you can have the soul area sorted for identity purposes. And the quicker you can have the word go through your mind, which will then bring you the understanding of everything. Okay, but that understanding is what you get last. That doesn't come before. He can't get in to give you the understanding. First things first, the heart, then the soul, and then comes the understanding. So the last part of the first commandment is the mind. Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now the word, the mind, it says in Matthew 10:39, says, "He who having found the life of him will lose it." Oh wait, we're not doing the mind to share. I'm just going to go on from that heart. So the heart and then the soul. Okay, so the soul area, to sort that for identity purposes. The quicker that you have the word go through the heart, then the soul, the quicker that the word will go through your mind to bring you understanding. Okay, so the quicker you repent and obey, the quicker that you're healed, and the quicker that more of him can be formed inside of you. So Matthew 10:39 says, "He who having found the life of him will lose it," right? Having had your true soul exposed or found, it says, found, learned, discovered, after the searching and the seeking, right? He says, seek first the kingdom, right? So after the searching and the seeking, having that soul exposed, will now lose it. Okay, he having found his life will lose it. Lose it means to have it cut off. Death, it says, being viewed here as certain. So to die to that old life, it says to be fully destroyed, actually. It says to be abolished and for it to pass away. It's the same language there as in Revelation, when the old passes away and then the new comes, right? So you found or had your life, the inner man and seat of your desires, your soul exposed. Now it's loosed. And if you lose it, once exposed, for my sake, leave it, repent, and repent for the life of Christ, right? Repent of it and then live for the life of Christ, to live for Christ to live through you. He says, if you choose to do that, once you've had your soul exposed, if you then repent and obey for the life of Christ to live through you, only then will you find the very life you were searching for. You'll discover, learn, and obtain, and meet with, get knowledge of, and come to know God, and find one's true self. Now lastly, the mind. Love thy Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Mind is dianoia, meaning the intellect, insight, and understanding. So the faculty for understanding, the faculty for feeling, desiring, and also the faculty of the imagination. So it's also where thorough reasoning is incorporated, giving full conclusion to a matter, essential to loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. It's essential. Also, it is the instrument of self-destruction when exercised without God's light and power. It works to a person's undoing when operating separated from God's light and power. Ephesians 2:3 says, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So once the word has been taken thoroughly through your heart first, and all what is disclosed is lost, cut off, repented of, and decision is made to want Christ to live through you, then the word is carried through your soul by the Holy Spirit, and it is cut off and completely destroyed until complete death, for the Zoe life to live through you like you chose, like you decided. And once these are established, then the Holy Spirit takes the word through your mind, giving you intellect, intelligence, and understanding, where you now have Hebrews 8:10 fulfilled. And the Greek reads that this way, "says the Lord, putting laws of me into the mind of them and upon their hearts of them, I will inscribe them, and I will be to them God, and they will be to me my people, the chosen ones. And this is the new covenant made with the house of Israel, the sons of God, the daughters of God, his children." Okay, so he will write. He says, I'll put the laws, he says in Jeremiah, and in those days I will write my laws on their mind and on their hearts, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Okay, so now the commandment, love your Lord with all your heart, soul and mind, is fulfilled by his word and power of the Holy Spirit through your body. So Matthew 22:38 says, this is the great and first commandment. Okay, it's just continuing on. So this is the great and the first commandment. Great there meaning great moment, great white, which means death. Okay, so this is the great death. So the place where the old you is put to death. Okay. And it says it's of great importance. Okay, that word great means of great importance. It's the same word great, the word megas. It's great, it's used in Matthew 4:16. They saw a great light. And again used in Matthew 5:19, where he says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And it's seen again in Matthew 18:1, where the disciples asked, who will be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus, having called to him a child, set it in the midst of them. And he said, truly I say to you, if you are not converted, okay, changed in my direction, right once the heart's exposed, right? And you're cut off completely and lost from the old. If you do not change your mind and your direction toward Jesus to have your soul and identity formed for understanding to come later on, then he says, and become like little children, which is prepared to learn and be formed from scratch by his spirit, his way. Then he says, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven and therefore will not have understanding. Moreover, you will fail to fulfill the commandments required of you. So therefore, not have them written on your heart and mind. And then you cannot love the Lord your God, and you cannot love the neighbor as yourself. So this is the greatest and the most important, to have this commandment fulfilled, as it's the law to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the second commandment is like this. It says, like it is of equal rank and resembling it. It also says it's in authority. So the second commandment, it's saying it's the second place one. Once that is fulfilled, then you are of equal rank and have the authority to then love the neighbor of you as yourself, or love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? The word love, which is to wish well to, take pleasure in, long for your neighbor, the word neighbor there is any person, any other person at all, any fellow man, any countryman. Love them as yourself, self as the new Zoe life soul that's completed and fulfilled the commandments. The new self that's inside, right? The new Zoe life, the new identity. But it's also saying you now have the authority to love, which is to have Holy Spirit take that love through the heart, through the soul, and through the mind of any other person to do to them the same as that was done to you, to make them as you are, of equal rank and authority. Right, to be great in the kingdom through the fulfillment of the commandment to have the new covenant. Okay, so perfect. Now Romans, we're going to go on to Romans 10:6. But those the righteousness of faith, those whose faith. I'll read it from the New King James, just really. Romans 10:6. It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Okay, so Romans 10:6. But those, the righteousness of faith, those whose faith, trust and fidelity has been approved in the courts, okay, e.g. fulfilled the law. So approved by God, credited as righteousness. They don't say in their hearts, these ones who have fulfilled the law, who have been approved in the court, who have come through to have all that done to them, right, to get the law fulfilled inside of them, that's through the courts of heaven, right? They've gone through the whole courts. So approved now by God. And those people don't say in their inner selves, in their inner mind, in their will or their intentions, they don't say, now who will go to heaven or hell? Or who will go to heaven? Who will call Jesus down? Or who will go to hell and bring him up from among the dead? They don't say that. What they say is what it says. It says, what says it near you, right? Near you there is in thy mind. So it's already in your mind. It's imminent. It's at hand. The word is in thy mind of these ones. And in their mouth, which is stoma, their speech is the sword. Their speech is the word. Their speech is the sword of the spirit. The heart or soul and mouth are distinguished. And in their heart, that is the rhema, the spoken word, the word of faith that we preach, the word made by our living voice, the words we have taught publicly and proclaimed publicly. If you confess, it says, speak and agree, right? Come into agreement, agree with the rhema word, the word that's been spoken through those ones who have been counted as approved. Okay, so if you agree with that spoken word, that rhema word coming through an approved vessel, an approved person who's come through the courts, the word made by our living voice, the words which have been taught publicly, you agree with that rhema word, the spoken word from the mouth, from the Holy Spirit, the sword out of that mouth, the agreement that the Lord is Jesus, it says, that you agree that the Lord is Jesus, and believe, which is persuaded and believe it to be true, okay, have put confidence, place confidence in the fact that he, the Lord, is Jesus, and that he is, and you trust it to be true in your heart, in your inner man, in your will, in your intentions, okay, so the word that's come forth from the Spirit, from the spoken word, the sword that's come out of that mouthpiece, has persuaded you, and you now believe it to be true. You are confident that the Lord is God, right? That the Lord is Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved, it says, saved from the evils of this world, to make one a partaker of salvation of Christ through, it says, a pregnant construction, right? And saved and transported into the protection of Christ. So if you come into agreement with the words of this preaching that the Lord is Jesus and God did raise him from the dead, and you are persuaded in your heart to trust and be confident in what was preached, you will be pregnant with that word and transported to salvation from the evil of this world into the protection of Christ, saved in your inner man, and believe and trust in righteousness, and out of your mouth, you remain in agreement, right? Out of your mouth, you now remain in agreement until you are transported to salvation. So those who truly believe will not be put to shame. They won't be dishonored or disgraced or disappointed. The same word shame there is used in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You won't be if you truly believe it. And you believe it until you're transported out for salvation. You won't be put to shame or dishonored or disgraced or disappointed. Okay? So those who truly believe will not be shamed. Because there is no difference in people, for they are all considered the same. And the Lord is rich and makes those who call on his name rich and wealthy, richly supplied with eternal spiritual possessions and resources and blessings of salvation. Therefore, it says, anyone who appeals to, cries out to, adores, worships, and gives Jesus lordship over their own name will be saved. So that's all we got for tonight. So just to close, let us be confident in the commandments and the fulfillment of the law in our hearts, souls, and mind. Let us be certain that those who are the greatest in the kingdom have the commandments written on their hearts and mind, that they have heeded the greatest commandment, of which is of all importance in order to enter the kingdom of God, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, in which this process gives ability to obey God, and then authority to use the word to bring love through the minds of all people, making them of equal rank and authority, which is saving the world. So thanks for listening. God bless you guys. I love you, and I will talk to you next time.